This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Quick reminder, tonight's broadcast and property, the Anaheim Ducks Hockey Club, and rebroadcast of tonight's game either whole or in part without the express written consent of the Anaheim Ducks and the National Hockey League is strictly prohibited. We're here to start our postgame show, and this particular segment will involve our play of the game. And we're going to start with that play of the game, one of the few highlights the Ducks had as far as scoring goals tonight. The Ducks play of the game brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. This was an exciting play put on by Mason McTavish, which gave the Ducks a 1-0 lead. Here's Kaprizov, stick handling in, stops to make a play, turned it over. Mason McTavish has a breakaway. Moving in, he scores! On a clear-cut breakaway on a 4-on-4 scenario. And the Ducks grab a lead 1-0, 5:48 into period two.
Well, for all of Kirill Kaprizov's accomplishments, and there are many, he's not necessarily the most responsible player compared to some other stars around the NHL. Kaprizov entered the game with a -3 mark, and he picked up another minus here with the team's skating 4 aside. Kaprizov with an ill-advised cross-ice pass attempt inside the Anaheim blue line. Mason McTavish picked it off, was off to the races, and beat Marc-Andre Fleury 5-hole. McTavish's 5th goal of the season unassisted. That gave the Ducks a 1-0 lead at 5:48 of the second period.
Well, we talked about all the young players that the Anaheim Ducks have in their so-called development stage of where they're at right now. And Minnesota has some good young players, too, one of which has caught my eye, forward Connor Dewar. And, Dan, he got the Wild even later in the second.
Yeah, he did, Steve. Dewar pretty much with an individual effort, though Ryan Reeves and Mason Shaw were credited with assists on this goal. But Dewar was carrying the puck away from the net on left wing. Ducks center Sam Carrick draped all over him, but Dewar just spun near the side boards and fired the puck toward the net. Believe it surprised Lukasz Dostal. And Dewar winds up with his 5th goal of the season. That tied the score 1-1 at 16:03 of the second period.
Matt Boldy had a terrific game, and he scored a goal at 4:46 of the third, which increased the Wild lead to 1 goal.
Yeah, and as is the case on so many goals in the sport of hockey, I guess it all depends on how you look at it. From a Ducks perspective, it was a failed clearing attempt by defenseman Dmitry Kulikov. From the Wild side of things, a good play by former Duck Sam Steele to pressure Kulikov, who put the puck off the right wing wall and not out of the zone. That enabled Matt Boldy to gain control. He walked in to the top inner portion of the right wing faceoff circle and snapped a shot past Lukasz Dostal. For Boldy, the unassisted goal, his 12th of the season, that would stand up as the game winner. It gave Minnesota a 2-1 lead at 4:46 of the third period.
Veteran contributes to the Minnesota 3rd goal, and it was also a power play type score.
It was, and Dmitry Kulikov, the former Wild defenseman now playing for the Ducks, again victimized. He was guilty of tripping Kirill Kaprizov to give Minnesota the power play, and the right point shot by Kalen Addison redirected in front by Joel Eriksson Ek, who gets his 11th goal of the season. Addison and Boldy with the assists. That power play conversion at 8:54 stretched the Minnesota lead to 3-1.
And you felt like maybe Anaheim's still in the hockey game, but that would change late as the Wild score into an empty net.
Yeah, desperate times, desperate measures. Ducks pull Dostal for an extra attacker late in the game, and as happens more often than not, it is the opposition that finds the net. In this case, Ryan Hartman with his 2nd goal of the season. Boldy and Frederick Gaudreau with the assists at 18:12. That put the finishing touches on a 4-1 Minnesota victory.
All right, so game one in the books of 10 consecutive contests here at Honda Center. We're going to take a break. Josh Brewster is setting up in our broadcast booth. He'll join Dan Wood and myself, Steve Carroll, for some thoughts on this one. And then Josh has it all by himself with another edition of Duck Calls. And he'll take all your calls in just a while. We'll take a timeout, come back with our second postgame segment in just a moment on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down three positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act.
We are back at Honda Center. Fans still filing out from this building tonight. Started this long homestand. Didn't go the Ducks' way. It was 4-1 Minnesota over Anaheim. Just real quick, want to thank Vic Pence for his stat work tonight. Rick Cutler on site, our engineer, and, of course, our friends at Skyview in the state of Arizona, Cash Hibbler and that crew. But you got us three for just a little bit here in a postgame show. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, and Josh Brewster. And we'll start with Josh. 4-1 was the final score tonight. What do you think about this one?
From the midpoint of the second period, where the shots were nearly even, until late in the third period, the Ducks marched to the penalty box repeatedly. None of these penalties were penalties where you say, well, at least that saved a goal or something. And it's a level of undisciplined play that is shooting this club in the foot. This club was in this game, and that was really, really hard to take. I think if I remember correctly, we had 22 shots on the night. They had 18 shots on the power play alone, if I'm not mistaken. And that's the story of the game. I mean, you're in this thing the first 30 minutes, and then you're not in this game for the last 30 minutes.
Josh, you took the words right out of my mouth. If you look at the shots on goal tonight, the total for Minnesota, 42, for Anaheim at 22. So even with my third grade math degree, I can tell you that's a difference of 20. Well, on the power play, as you said, Josh, Minnesota with 18 shots, the Ducks with none. So even though there was only one power play goal scored in the game tonight, that pretty much tells you where the difference was. Minnesota really gained control with all of the power play opportunities, six, and the Ducks had only two, one of which was in the waning second, so it doesn't even really count. But that's where the Wild built all of the momentum that enabled them to win this game going away in the third period. And you can look at it a couple of ways, I think. Number one, the Wild is a quality hockey team, definitely a Stanley Cup playoff contender in a very difficult division. They need every point they can get. The Ducks, certainly not a playoff contender, and just trying to build for the future. So you can look at it and say, okay, well, the Wild is a better team, yes. And you can also look at it that, as you said, Josh, the Ducks, first half of the game, especially the first half of the second period, they were right there. They were playing even if not better than Minnesota, but then things changed. And perhaps the fatigue factor, and it's not just having played in Los Angeles last night. The Ducks are dragging after having played 21 of their first 33 games on the road, coming off a five-game road swing that included four in Canada and another one last night in L.A. So not an excuse, but a factor. Minnesota's the better team, and the fatigue for the Ducks didn't help.
I also wanted to add, I think that, you know, there are times when we come into the offensive zone and, you know, we try to accomplish these passes across the offensive zone. They're often interrupted. But most importantly, I talk a lot about the manufacturing of rebounds, and it's not there. And, you know, also operating from behind the net, kicking the puck back out to the front of the net, doing things closer to the net. You're playing too far-flung a game in the offensive zone, and I think that's something the Ducks absolutely must work on. You have to have a guy charging to the net looking for a deflection, and you have to take enough time in the offensive zone to get someone behind the net who can kick it back out in front. Minnesota can. We couldn't, and unfortunately that's happening a little too often.
And I think the Ducks understand that. They are definitely on board with your theory, but saying it and doing it are two different things.
Yep.
All right, so I'll just throw this out because I want to add to what you guys just said because it's interesting to me. So how do you fix this? How do you get better as a hockey club at this point of the season right now, Josh, first?
Well, you know, I Dan mentioned trying to fix it and easier said than done, and I would agree. The thing I would say is there's got to be a translation of the plays that they work on in practice, translating to the ice, finding a way to get some time in the offensive zone, to hang on to the puck long enough in the offensive zone, to execute some of these touch passes and plays where someone's looking for a shot pass or a deflection. You have to find some way to get some time in the offensive zone so that you can translate the things that you know you need to be doing. So it's look, I think you also have you also have some guys in the lineup who are on the border of AHL versus NHL. Let's be brutally frank here. And I don't know if the speed of the NHL game is quite there for them yet. So I think that the execution of what you look at, what you're doing in practice when you're not under pressure, you've got to find a way to execute some of these plays right off the chalkboard during games. And that is going to be difficult with the level of experience that the Ducks have, but it's got to be.
Yeah, and, you know, Steve, honestly, you look at it, and we'll just talk about forwards since we're talking about trying to create offense. Certainly, Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, and Mason McTavish, all three have very promising futures. They're young players. They're going to get better. Then you have a smattering of veterans up front. You know, think about guys like Adam Henrique and Ryan Strome and Frank Vetrano, who have had success in the NHL and are certainly capable of, being good players, not necessarily guys who are going to drive play, but they can play support roles on good clubs. And then, as Josh alluded to, you have a number of players who are trying to make their way in the NHL, and maybe some do, maybe some don't. But in answer to your question, how do you get better? You need better players, and that's up to General Manager Pat Verbeek to acquire and develop those players that can battle on even terms with the Kaprizovs and Zuccarellos and those guys in the NHL. For what it's worth, the Ducks did snap Matt Zuccarello's 10-game scoring streak tonight. So there's that.
Yeah, there is. Josh, Duck Calls, what's happening on that show tonight?
Got Doug Stolhan, the co-host of the Puck Podcast. Doug is always a great guest and looking forward to having him on. But most importantly, looking forward to your calls at 714-940-2888. Give us a call. The good, the bad, the ugly, I welcome it all on Duck Calls. It's your show, so let it rip.
All right, let's hope we get more good calls than the ugly ones. I don't want to look at
that
it.
Would
right.
That would be good.
All right. Well, stay tuned for Josh. I want to thank Rick Cutler and our buddy Vic Pence, our statistician, along with Josh. And I'm Steve Carroll. Hope you enjoy the broadcast despite the result. One final reminder, Anaheim Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network, brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stop-at-nothing. So stay tuned for Josh. We'll be on the air at 6:30 Friday night from Honda Center. It's the Ducks and the Calgary Flames. All of our pregame coverage followed by the play-by-play at 7 o'clock live from Honda Center. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny,
and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection today's hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action, breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
Today's hottest hits are not only topping the charts, they're boosting your day with positive energy and catchy hooks. And the best app for all your favorite audio, TuneIn, is here with our exclusive Today's Hit Station to keep your finger on the pulse of today's hottest artists like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars, and so many more. Plus, you can ditch the commercial breaks with a TuneIn Premium channel. Look no further. Stream Today's Hits. Only on TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. Tonight, Wild 4, Ducks 1. We were in this thing. We were in this thing for the first half of the game, and then we lost control of this thing. And this thing is called the long march to the penalty box, which began in earnest at 12:30 of the second frame and continued unabated through about 15 minutes into the final frame. And it was a long march. It was a long slog. And as we were just discussing with Dan and Steve, 18 shots on goal for the Wild on the power play. Zero for the Ducks. 18 shots on goal in the night where they outshot us 42-22, and that was very much the story. You're talking undisciplined penalties that can't be happening when you are a struggling club like this. You're not a struggling club just because of the penalties, but you are not helping yourself when you are ranked, I think, 30. I think we came in last in the NHL in terms of penalty time. So give me a call, 714-940-2888. We had a beautiful goal tonight. Mason McTavish intercepts none other than Kirill Kaprizov's pass and goes in alone on Marc-Andre Fleury and beats him five-hole at 5:48 of the second period. And that was real strong. And even when Duar tied it at one apiece, and we were in the midst of our penalty trouble, it was an even strength goal, but it was 1-1. And, you know, at the midpoint of this game, the shots were 12-11. Minnesota, 12-11, and it finishes 42-22. So that's, you know, that's 30-11 in the last 30 minutes of the game, basically. So that's real rough. It's just one of those things where I could see Dallas Eakins trying to move some pieces around the lineup and then moving them back. Zegras started out with Strome and Leeson, and then ultimately he was back up with Henrique and Terry. But, a disappointing night, and I'll tell you, things have started to dry up for Troy Terry, unfortunately, which is not a good sign for the Ducks, as good as he's been. He's got a goal and an assist for 2 points in his last 9 games played. Trevor Zegras, 2 assists in his last 6 games played. Max Comtois, no points in his last 7 games played. Mason McTavish is a bright spot, a goal and four assists for 5 points in his last four games played. So we need everybody pulling on the rope here, and you give me a call, 714-940-2888. Were you here at Honda Center tonight? It was Futures Night with some Hanukkah celebration as well, but some young people showing off their skills. I saw some saw a young woman doing in-arena announcing, and it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see young people get a shot, and Ryan Getzlaff's son was getting a shot as reporter, and Getzy was in the building, got a nice round of applause. It was great to see him. It's always great to see him. And tonight, it was could have been a happier night. I really thought that we had a nice pace. I thought we were hanging in there. But as the game wore on, I was just not impressed with the Ducks' ability to manufacture some rebounds, and also to show off some of the set plays where the a shot passes in order, or you got a guy behind the net and he's kicking the puck back out to the slot, and creating some dangerous chances against for Marc-Andre Fleury. This is a Hall of Fame goaltender you're going up against tonight, and you're going to have to play a lot closer to the net. You're going to have to find a way. There's different levels of experience on this club, as we were just discussing with Dan and Steve. And, sometimes the club is not pulling on the rope together. Their experience dictates that they're kind of pulling in a couple different directions. And it's unfortunate, because I really thought we had an opportunity here tonight. But, boy, once the march to the penalty box began, you just kept feeling it slipping away and slipping away. And it takes a lot to kill these penalties. It takes a lot of manpower to kill them, and to come back and kill it again. And you're talking about one after another in the second period. Let me take a quick glance. Yeah, you've got Henrique, Zegras, Benoit, Strome, and it just piles up. And then you kill one off for the Strome penalty that goes into the third period, and then we turn around and a few minutes later Kulikov gets one. So it was up and down the lineup. Just mentioning some of the guys who took some penalties tonight, but it was definitely up and down the lineup. It was certainly not just one or two guys. Adam Henrique, real nice, tough battling in the corner tonight. He led a shift in the right smack dab in the middle of the game, where his battle along the boards led to a very, very good offensive zone presence. But it was sporadic. Even early in the game, the Megna, it was at the time Megna, Comtois, and Carrick, or in the first period, they really gave us some good early pressure. But we're not sustaining. Unfortunately, Trevor Zegras hit a post in the first period, and it was just one of those unlucky kind of nights. Again, Mason McTavish, I give him big hats off for beating Marc-Andre Fleury with that big turnover and breakaway. It's unassisted. He makes the whole thing happen himself at 5:48 of the second period. And I really thought, looking up, and again, it was 12-11 Minnesota shots on goal at the midpoint. I was like, wow, this could be a real good opportunity here where our shots against are low and we're going to be in this thing until the end. And unfortunately, not meant to be tonight. So we continue. The Ducks just basically took themselves out of the game tonight. And they're going to have to get a handle on that, because it's certainly a mental thing, and you've got to watch your sticks. You've got to watch what you're doing out there. And when you stop and think of Minnesota only getting their second minor penalty with 23 seconds left in the game, that was a real tough one. We had a Spurgeon penalty at 11:29 of the second, but then that's really it. There was a 4-on-4. We had an embellishment. We had a diving penalty basically on Marcus Foligno at 5:04 of the second, and Adam Henrique went off for tripping. But boy, Minnesota, for the way they play, you'd think they do draw a lot. I mean, they do commit a lot of penalties. And unfortunately tonight for us, they had their heads on straight. So it's a tough club. And, Matt Zuccarello is out there. Dan just mentioned it. His point streak ended tonight. So that's good. But overall, and Kirill Kaprizov had no points at all tonight as well. He had only had one game without a point in the last 18 games. But, again, it was Matt Boldy, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Connor Dewar and Ryan Hartman tonight, who got goals for Minnesota. And it's interesting, you know, the other night, I think it was a week or so back, right? It was Megna versus Megna. Tonight, if we would have put Ollie Eriksson Ek in there, it would have been Ek versus Ek, or Eriksson Ek versus Eriksson Ek. Joel Eriksson Ek, of course, plays for the Minnesota Wild, and Ollie is our backup goaltender. Who knows? Does he get a crack on Friday? What do you think? Who gets a crack in net on Friday? Let's just assume for a minute that Anthony Stolarz and John Gibson remain unavailable. Who goes in? Who do you think? 714-940-2888. What did you think of the performance tonight? You can give me a call here on Duck Calls. I would love to hear what you think. It was a nice night here at Honda Center. Unfortunately, it went sour on the ice about halfway through. But that is the way it goes, and the Ducks are now 9-22-3 on the season, in a struggling season. And that is the story of the night, the long march to the penalty box. We've got the Calgary Flames coming in here on Friday with Coach Daryl Sutter, and they're starting to turn some things around. John Huberdeau is starting to come alive for them, and Nazem Kadri is looking a little better, and they're getting acclimated into that lineup. But Calgary, you know, they've had their struggles, but they're coming in here on Friday, and it should be a very interesting affair as we head into the Christmas weekend. And, of course, happy Hanukkah to everyone who celebrates. And I hope you had a good time here at Honda Center tonight, if you were here, regardless of the outcome. It's always fun down here. And, you know, this is the way it goes. We're in frustrating times here in Anaheim. I wish it could have been better than, you know, a good 30 minutes. We certainly deserve better. It's a 10-game homestand. So throughout this homestand, this is a real opportunity now for the Ducks to write another chapter. The whole season doesn't have to be frustration. It can be a very entertaining period of time here. You're going to have this game Friday against Calgary, and then you're going to take a break for Christmas, and you're going to come back the following Wednesday. You're well-rested. You've got a bunch of home games. You get to work on the things that you want to work on in practice. We certainly need better formations in the offensive zone. We need a better passing game in the offensive zone. We need more time in the offensive zone. And some of the things I described, being able to kick the puck back out from behind the net, getting more rebounds. I've mentioned this before. Rebounds are evidently, according to the numbers I see, one out of every 20 shots in the National Hockey League, but they're 15% of all the goals. So stop and think about that. 5% of shots in this league are rebounds, but the number of them that actually go in, it's much higher. So, you know, we come in into the offensive zone. Often we're not charging as hard as we need to be charging into the offensive zone. Tonight I thought it was better than last night in Los Angeles. But, you know, a lot of times we're doing these cross-zone passes that are intercepted, where what we really need is to shoot it into the goalie's pads and hope it bounces and create some bounces and create some chaos. So we'll be home for a stretch of almost a month. I think it's about 26 or 27 days with 10 games. So there's 9 left now to write another chapter. And, you know, it could prove to be very entertaining for a club that spent way too much time on the road. Dan said it before the game. You know, the Arizona Coyotes, everybody's talking about that 14-game road trip, the longest road trip in NHL history. And it was. It was a tough one for them. But at the same time, you know, we've got an opportunity here. We paid the price. We've been on the road forever. And now we've got an opportunity to really work on these things that we need to work on. And hopefully the Ducks can do it and make things better at home so that, you know, we head into roughly the period of the All-Star break, you know, real strong. And we'll see what happens. All right, I'm going to take a break here on Duck Calls. You give me a call, 714-940-2888. But after this, we're going to tee up Mr. Doug Stolhan. He is the co-host of the Puck Podcast, and I will be right back. Duck Calls on Ducks.
Radio. Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
News, will of the people, world tour. April 12th, Honda Center. News. With special guests, Evanescence. And Highly Suspect, Will of the People, the new album, available now. Tickets are on sale now at muse.mu. Muse, produced by ADG Presents.
Hey, Ducks fans. Wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
Back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Get your free Wild Wing Nut Quacker figurine presented by Impact this Friday when the Ducks take on the Calgary Flames at 7:30 p.m. Only the first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive this figurine, so get to Honda Center early. Reserve your seats now at AnaheimDucks.com/Quacker. AnaheimDucks.com/Quacker. Well, you know, one of the good friends of this show is Mr. Doug Stolhand. And he is the co-host of the Puck Podcast. Always a pleasure to have him on. Duck, how you doing? Doug, how you doing tonight? Welcome to Duck Calls.
Thank you very much, Josh. Happy Hanukkah to you. Happy holidays to all the listeners. And always good to be with you here on Duck Calls on Duck Stream.
Well, I'll tell you what, Doug. Everybody's heard what I had to say. Why don't you lay out what you thought as an overview of this game, and then we'll dig into it a little further.
It's a young team, the Ducks, and Dan and Steve mentioned it during the game that this is still a team that's learning how to win. The Wild have done that in the past few years and are proving it in recent games and certainly been hot in recent weeks and after a slow start to the season. But the Ducks team is still learning that way. And when you have a team that is struggling on the penalty kill, as the Ducks have, and you are... 6-1 the penalty pill, the power play opportunities in favor of the Wild. That's just a, as they mentioned, a back-to-back nights, a lot of power plays for the Wild in the third period in a close game. It saps your energy of your defenders. It gives them too many opportunities, and it makes it very difficult on you to get any momentum and get some offensive opportunities. So I thought it was a young team that learned some lessons, but was competitive with probably a playoff team this season through 40 minutes and was right there with them. Just the penalties and fatigue, I thought, got the better of them in the third period.
Well, you know, look, Doug, I think you have a point, but the fact of the matter is, you know, in this league, this comes down to it being a youngish team. In this league, you know, everybody's got back-to-backs, you know what I mean? And you got to learn how to play these. You know, you're sort of running out of gas 30 minutes through the game tonight. As I mentioned, 12 to 11 shots on net at the midpoint, and then it's 42-22 at the end. So, you know, it really indeed sapped the parade to the penalty box, sapped the Ducks' energy tonight for sure.
Yeah, you can't, obviously, you know, because it's the same guys going out. You know, the penalty kill is not the entire, it's not all four lines. It's not all three defensive pairs. There's certain sets of players that are going out there, and they're getting worn out. And then when you ask them to go back out on offense, they just don't have the legs to get a good breakout, take advantage of a turnover, beat somebody to a loose puck, win a board battle. It's just that the energy is just that little bit less. And when you do have a young team, you would think, you know, you and I, Josh, we remember our youth. We may have been a little bit able to bounce back on the second night of a back-to-back like a Mason McTavish does or Troy Terry or Trevor Zegras, but it's the whole team. And even when you're young, you're going up against some good players on the other side that that take advantage. They smell blood in the water. They see you're tired. They see that the you're gasping for air on the bench and leaning over on your knees as you skate off the bench during stoppage and play. So they take advantage, but young team, and it's a lesson learned of, as you said, managing your minutes, managing your energy level, and bringing it throughout the entire game, not just the first period.
Indeed. Lukasz Dostal, Doug, he has been starting in our nets of late. I think he's done a very good job tonight. I think he would have wanted the Matt Boldy goal back, kind of whiffed with his glove, but he has been quite good for us in relief of John Gibson and Anthony Stolarz. Why don't you give me your thoughts on Dostal? I think positioning-wise, he's very effective, and I think he's shown himself well in the time that he's been here thus far.
For sure, and this goes back to something that I remember Steve Carroll and Dan Wood talking about, I think during a Duck Cues segment a few games back, was kind of the thought experiment of looking at the Ducks 3 years from now and what players on the current team might still be here in 3 years. And as, knowing we're in a rebuild here in Anaheim, and Lukasz Dostal was not on the team at that point. Stolarz and Gibson were still healthy. But you can add him to that list. And I think when you look at the forwards, Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, McTavish, Max Jones, probably Max Comtois, Dostal is the goalie of the future and is pressing to be a backup. You know, he looks like he's capable of getting some regular rotation at the NHL level. I know Stolarz is signed. I know Gibson is signed. I'm not saying either one of them should be traded or replaced, but Dostal has proven he's capable of going out there and giving you quality starts on a consistent basis. And the more he plays, the more comfortable he's going to get with exactly what you're talking about, his positioning, his rebound control, his game management in back-to-back games, the management of his energy level and focus in a tight game that's 1-1 going into the third. And maybe your team is a little tired, and maybe they are taking too many penalties. Having that focus to come up with the big stops to keep them in the game, make it a one-goal game, keep them one shot away from tying the game and getting it into overtime and it potentially a shootout and stealing some points for this team. The more he plays, the quicker his future potential is going to be realized, and I think we're seeing it in real time these last couple weeks.
For sure. Now, tonight, on the good side of the ledger, Mason McTavish has a goal and four assists in his last five points in his last four games played, and he's climbing the ladder in the rookie race. He's got some stiff competition, I think, for the Calder consideration. Matty Beniers, of course, and then Logan Thompson, the goaltender in Vegas, and Pyotr Kochetkov in Carolina, who's coming on strong. But Mason has really started to adapt and started to grow further and further into his role, and this is very early in his development, but of late he's been very good. You know, it kind of dovetails with Isaac Lundstrom going out of the lineup, but boy, Mason McTavish has been very good, and it was no less than Kirill Kaprizov who he stole the puck from tonight when he was trying to make that pass. He goes in, Mason McTavish goes in alone, and he beats a Hall of Fame goaltender through the five hole. So things are looking up and up and up for Mason McTavish.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the, I think a lot of Ducks fans were expecting to see this from game one this season because of the preview we saw last year where he looked like he fit in. He scored. He was contributing physically. He looked like a solid player last year. So we were expecting this kind of production from the get-go, and he did not have that right off the bat, but he is having it in recent weeks. They talked about his hot streak in the broadcast. You just mentioned it. And as I said, the young players that are going to be the core of this team, he's a big part of that. And with Terry, Zegras, and McTavish, I think you have three of the forwards that are going to be a big part of this team going forward and should be parts of their success when they get this turned around. The defense has a lot more question marks on it. Those are still in either the AHL, college, or the CHL. But they're coming, and when they add to this, when you add with Dostal, with the forwards And McTavish's development right now, you can see the confidence. You mentioned him going up against Kaprizov and Fleury. Those are two of the best in the league right now. And he went right up against both of them, beat both of them, turns it into a goal for the Ducks. That's a huge encouraging sign. And seeing his potential and knowing that he is just getting started in his NHL career is very exciting.
So, Doug, let's talk about the defense for just a moment here, and I'm going to mention some names who are not even a part of our defense right now, but I have a feeling some things are going to change because I think we're going to be taking a look. I have a feeling, I don't know anything on the inside, but I have a feeling, especially with a long homestand, I have a feeling we might see some new faces get a shot. Of course, we've seen Justin Kirkland has hopped into the lineup here, made his NHL debut against the Kings last night. But we just reacquired Mr. Michael Delzato. And I'll also throw another name out there. Fifth overall pick in the 2016 draft, Olli Juolevi. He really never caught his footing in the NHL, but he was a very, very highly touted prospect. He's in San Diego. And then, of course, there's players like Axel Anderson and Drew Helleson. But why don't you give me your thoughts on our reacquisition of Michael Delzato for starters?
Well, I think that's with an eye towards special teams and particularly the penalty kill. A veteran guy back there. We've had kind of a rotation on that second and third pairing due to injury. And having to go with 11 forward, 7 defensemen, getting a lot more guys in there. Michael Delzato is a player that you know what you're going to get, and coaches love that. When they put somebody over the boards, a veteran player that they know what they can expect from him in those minutes. So I think we're definitely going to see him here in Anaheim. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's during this homestand, but at least at some point in this season. And I love the mention of Olli Juolevi because that's exactly the kind of guy that should be getting a chance to show what he can do. He has an NHL pedigree, as you mentioned, fifth overall pick. He's got a fresh start here. He's not coming in with any expectations, unlike what it was in Vancouver. So here he's going to come in just as a guy and can just focus on doing his thing shift by shift, getting a clean start. And those are two guys that I would love to see. And Drew Helleson, I absolutely would love to see sooner rather than later. I'm anxious to see him. I haven't been able to get down to San Diego or been able to watch many of their games. So I'm very anxious to see what he can do as well. And getting him some minutes, and even if it's kind of like that taste of, even if they come up and just play a few games, I'm talking about Juolevi and Helleson here, not Delzato. He knows what he's doing. But giving them a taste of the NHL to know what they have to work on when they go back to the AHL. And yep. Focus on those few things. Okay, here's what I need to do, whether it's breakouts, whether it's puck possession, whether it's whatever it is, closing the gaps in the offensive zone or in the defensive zone. They can go back and work on those specific things. It'll make them that much more ready when they come to the NHL the next time and hopefully to stick.
Well, look, Olli Juolevi is only 24 years of age, and it's interesting. I'll just mention the names from the top of the 2016 draft. Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Jesse Puljujärvi, Olli Juolevi, Matthew Tkachuk, Clayton Keller, and it goes from there. So I have a feeling we're going to see some other players. One other thing I wanted to mention is interesting situation. Brendan Gulley, at just 25 years of age, has announced his retirement from hockey due to injuries and things that have piled up on him. You know, you watch Brandon Montour with the Florida Panthers. This is a quality defenseman, and we got Gulley in return. But one of the other players we got in, well, the picks we got in return turned out to be a player by the name of Braden Tracy, of course, who you know, in San Diego. And I am starting to wonder whether, you know, maybe on this homestand, you might see a couple other gulls come up and get a shot. It's only an hour down the road, depending on traffic, right? You're not all the way across the country on an East Coast swing. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe as December goes into January, Doug, there may be some forwards who we might be looking at as well, just as speculation.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And it is great to have the gulls and the AHL team here in Southern California and the entire AHL bracket now that they've added the Coachella Valley Firebirds and, of course, Bakersfield and Ontario. It's great to have that presence out here, which we did not have for decades as the Ducks first got started. So having that luxury of, as you said, calling somebody up and they're a drive away as opposed to crossing the continent to get over here. So that option is certainly there. That's sad to hear about Gooey. I did not hear that. I was thinking about him the other night when we played Montreal, and we played against his brother, Caden Gooley. And I remembered, I'm like, ah, it would have been great if they had been able to play against each other. It's sad to see that injuries have robbed him of his career at such a young age. But there are so many prospects that this Ducks team have at defense. And I think a year from now, and we're talking about the development of the young forwards and even Lukasz Tostal in net, it's a shame that Jamie Drysdale is injured and is not getting that same year of development for us as well. But when you've got Mintikov, Zellweger, Ian Moore and Henry Thrun and Hellison, I think you've got a pretty
Noah
full
forward,
and you got more draft picks coming.
Noah Warren as well, real big guy. I'm very interested to see how quickly he can develop. Doug, I'm up against it tonight, so we're going to have to continue this conversation real soon. I know we will here on Duck Calls. Everybody go to the Puck Podcast, and, of course, Doug's Twitter handle is at Puck Podcast. So, Doug, thank you so much for joining me on Duck Calls tonight. It is always a pleasure.
It is as pleasure as mine, and thank you very much for having me out here on Duck Calls.
All right, very good. I believe we have a caller, if that's the case. I want to say hello to the caller. Caller, are you there?
Oh, hi, Josh. How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Arnold from Orange County.
Right on, Arnold. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. What have you got for me tonight on Duck Calls?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say, tough loss for the Ducks, you know, but, you know, I know they can bounce back, but, I would just like to ask, you a question and say, who do you think is your most influential Anaheim Duck of all time?
Most influential? Wow. Most influential Anaheim Duck. Wow, that's a really tough one. Well, my first answer, I guess, would be Teemu Selänne. I don't think that's a hard one to go to, considering all he did here. But you know, it's interesting. You used the word influential, so I'm going to have to say Scott Niedermeyer, because his impact on this club was so profound. And I think it might be Niedermeyer. I mean, there's some others I could tell you. Like, for example, I believe when what I heard was, and I think this was in the media, but when we had made the deal to get Chris Pronger, I believe it was Kevin Lowe who mentioned to Brian Burke, you know, I'm giving you a trip to the Stanley Cup final, right? Because we'd been to the conference final. So it might be, you know, Pronger was hugely influential. I mean, look, Paul Kariya was a name that you knew all over North America when the Ducks were young, you know, the Cole Kariya and Solani thing. Then, of course, there's Jiggy. But you used the word influential, so I'll point to Scott Niedermeyer. Now let me ask you a question. Who do you think was the most influential Duck?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, actually. I like Niedermeyer. I think that's a great answer, honestly. But, you know, it was also funny that you mentioned Paul Kariya, because that was actually going to be my answer, was Paul Kariya. And I love him in The Mighty Ducks 3. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. I think top three or top five. And I love Paul Kariya in that movie. And, I mean, you could definitely see the influence that, you know, Kariya had on the Ducks in the franchise, you know. So I would personally pick him. You know, maybe that's a little bit biased because, you know, I love Korea. But, you know, I love Niedermeyer. I think that's a great answer. You know, I love that, Josh.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, look what Scott Niedermeyer did. And you're talking about a player whose, you know, number is retired by two different clubs. But most importantly, I look at the dead seriousness with which he took his responsibility here. And he was just such a great NHLer that I'd have to point to him. And, you know, you'll never forget that he very much was a key guy in delivering the cup here. And, well, there's a bunch of them. There's definitely a bunch of them. So what did you think about tonight's loss, Scott? Why don't you tell me that before I finish up here tonight? Do you have any thoughts on tonight's loss? What did you see?
Tonight's loss, you know, I mean, it's going to happen. You know, honestly, I think I think Minnesota can get underrated sometimes, but you know, I think they got a quality club, honestly. And now, Josh, I would like to turn it around on you and also ask you a question. Do you think that maybe, you know, not that they would ever intentionally do anything, but do you think that maybe the Ducks are eyeing that number one pick? What do you think about that?
Well, no, I don't think there's – well, what are you going to do? I mean, look, the players are going to play their hearts out no matter what you do. You know, who would not want the first overall pick? But the thing is, you know, you put yourself in the position of the people who have to sell hockey here. You got to sell tickets to the games. You got to have an entertaining club that wins games. And there's another aspect to this is that, you know, these are lottery balls you're talking about. You know what I mean? These are you're just hoping the balls come your way. Now, of course, the thing, you know, you can't stand around hoping that the lottery balls fall your way. I mean, I don't have an interest in the lottery until the day it happens. And, of course, the players are going to play their hearts out. So, you know, I mean, I've seen instances, you know, where – there have been organizations, and I'm pretty sure the Sabres pulled this stunt when they thought they were going to get Connor McDavid, and they ended up getting Jack Eichel, who's quite a spectacular player.
Exactly,
but
right.
They started to mess with the lineup on an organizational level, and kind of depleted their lineup throughout the year. But you know, I just don't buy any kind of tanking, because you've got to entertain the people, and you've got to try to win games. And goodness knows, I mean, the players and the coaches are always going to want to win games. So, Scott, thank you for giving me a call here on Duck Calls tonight. If anybody else wants to jump in, 714-940-2888, 714-940-2888. So, Scott, thank you for calling the show. Let me hit you with some out-of-town
actually,
scores.
I just wanted to say it was Arnold, actually, but I appreciate it, Josh. Thank
or
you.
Arnold, I'm sorry. I keep calling you Scott. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Sorry about that. I'm easily confused. What are you going to do? I'm getting old. All right. Tonight in the NHL, got some scores for you here. And if you want to hop in, 714-940-2888. Devils 4, Panthers 2. This is in Florida. The Devils had a tough night against Carolina Hurricanes, but they get back on the horse in their 13 games above 500. The Lightning go into Detroit, and Detroit had been struggling of late, but tonight Detroit hangs a touchdown on the Lightning. They're taking after the resurgent Detroit Lions. Red Wings 7, Lightning 4. Michael Rasmussen, 2 goals tonight for the Detroit Red Wings, and Dylan Larkin, 2 goals tonight. He's up to 12. All right, Canadians go into Colorado. It's the Avalanche 2, Les Canadiens 1. Mikko Rantanen, his 22nd goal of the year, proves to be the overtime winner. Predators 4, Blackhawks 2, and that's in Chicago. Predators are stumbling along in sort of mediocreville. You know, the performance of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene this year, I don't think is quite as resurgent as it was last year. But we'll see what happens with the Predators. Oilers go into Dallas, and they beat the Dallas Stars tonight 6-3. And Connor McDavid is now up to 29 goals. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins up to 18 goals for the Edmonton Oilers. Coyotes go into Vegas tonight. It's the Golden Knights 5, the Coyotes 2. And, of course, tonight the Wild 4 and the Ducks 1. All right, Friday night, it's a 7:30 start here at Honda Center, and I hope to see you out here against the Calgary Flames. Let's get out of here. I will talk to you on